Praise God. Let's love him together. What a beautiful spirit in this place. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. None like you, Lord. You are our help in a time of trouble. You are our peace. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen. Beautiful spirit here tonight. You have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Corinthians, chapter 5. And while you're turning there, I want to just announce that if you're here tonight and you have joined the church since October of 2010, then we will be having a new member dinner at Pastor's House this Sunday following the service, and there will be a meal provided, and it's just sort of meet you, meet us kind of thing. So we'd certainly love to have you be a part of that. Also, remember Brother Jim Kelly, his mother passed away a few days ago, and he is there with family. And we want to thank you for all the prayers that has gone up for Sister Kyle during the time of the loss of her father. She was very, very close to her dad. But what a beautiful services we had. And I was so blown away. I've never seen this in all of my life. And he's just an old country boy. Got on a tractor and plowed his own beans and corn from time to time. And just a community man, never really accomplished anything great in life that we would call great. However, over 1,000 people walked past that casket. And what was supposed to have been a two-hour viewing was nearly 5 hours. The director left. He said, close the door when you're done. And there were people by the hundreds outside waiting to get in. And it was an awesome thing to know that I have married into a family of such great respect in that community. And we were saddened to lose Dad. He was a good man. However, the thing that makes it all just okay is that he's filled with the Holy Ghost and baptized in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. You know, the Bible says the first shall be last and the last shall be first. And he just received the Holy Ghost a few weeks ago. I wonder what it felt like to close your eyes and then open them in the presence of Jesus, knowing that just a few weeks ago, he let you in the door. 40 years, 47, I don't know. How long have they been married? 47 years of praying, asking God to fill him with the Holy Ghost, kids in agony. And finally, he makes that step towards God. And God is so merciful. He is so merciful. Somebody might want to say, well, they did in the Bible. They said, we worked for you all day. It's not fair. He just in 3 weeks and he's in. And the Lord said, will you speak evil of my good? Shouldn't you just be happy you're here? And for those of us that many of us maybe who have loved ones that will get in just at the nick of time, thank God for his mercy. Praise God. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, and we're going to read First Corinthians chapter 5, and we're going to read verse 7. I'm going to be continuing what we taught on last Wednesday. We taught about purging out the old lump, and we all left here last Wednesday as new lumps and determined to fix things and get things right. and live for God and not let things of yesterday contaminate our walk today. Praise God. Verse number 7. Purge out, therefore, the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Purge out, therefore, the old leaven. Father, we thank you for the wonderful opportunity to be here today, to feel your presence, Lord. I ask you that you anoint this vessel. Use me as a servant of God, Lord, to minister to the word of the Lord tonight. Let each of us receive this into our lives. Help us tonight through your word. God, that we would leave this place with something in us that would strengthen us to be able to walk with you better, have a closer walk with you, be a better Christian. Lord, that your name might be glorified in our works. Lord, that you might be glorified and that men might be drawn to you. Lord, we ask it in the wonderful name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. 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 God bless you. You may be seated. So last week we talked a little bit about purging out the old leaven. And the word of the Lord tells us that just a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Now, I don't cook a lot, and I don't cook at all, actually. So I don't really know a whole lot about that. But I think just from maybe hearing some little conversations here and there, we find out that just a little yeast put into a big old lump of dough will eventually make its way through that whole lump of dough, and that a little contaminant has a way of spreading itself through the entire loaf. You know, you pull a piece of bread, a loaf of bread from the shelf, and you look in there, or maybe on your counter, and maybe it's been sitting there a while because you're on a diet or something, and you look in there, and you see just a little bit of mold on that bread. Now, you can cut that out and be okay, but if you leave that little piece of mold there and come back, you're going to find out that that whole loaf is going to be contaminated with that mold before long. So Paul the Apostle said that unless we are willing to allow ourselves to be contaminated in the new thing that God's doing with us, then we have to cut out. If we don't want that to happen, we have to cut out the old. And so we talked about some things. We talked about habits that we formed. We all admitted that there were things that we allowed to get a hold of our life, habits that we have allowed to form in our life last year in 2010 that are not good habits. Maybe laziness or some type of sin or weight. You know, it doesn't have to be a sin. It could just be a weight. It could just be something that weighs you down. You're not necessarily doing something wrong, but you've allowed something to come in your life that is taking up prayer time, taking up Bible reading time, taking up being able to come to the house of God. It's just become a weight in your life. And so we discussed the fact that we maybe allowed some bad habits to form in our life, and that in 2011 we were not going to allow things of old to carry over into the new, but we were going to form new habits, good habits for Christ, and cut off the things that were not right. And if somebody hurt us in 2010 and there's some pain in our heart, some bitterness in our heart, some strife, or maybe a little bit of feelings of justification and things of revenge, we said we're not going to let that carry over with us into 2011, but we're going to cut it off. It's done enough damage already. It's hurt us enough already. It's held us back long enough. It's held me down long enough. It's time to cut it off and go on with the Lord Jesus Christ and let him take care of all of that. Let him solve those problems. We looked into the word of the Lord in Luke chapter 9, verse 62, and Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. And if we're not careful, we will let things of the old disqualify us, things of the old prevent us from being able to have things of the new, or we'll let things of the old disqualify us for the future. Things that hurt us in the past, we're always looking back. We can't ever let it go. Every time you get in an argument with your spouse, you bring something up she did 10 years ago. You bring something up he did 5 years ago. You won't let it go. You won't cut it off. Why? You haven't got your vengeance yet. You haven't been justified yet. And you have allowed it to get a hold of your heart. It's got in your spirit. And it's contaminated you. And God said, if you hold on to the past, it'll disqualify you for the future. So we learn that there's some things that we just, no matter how much it hurts, and no matter what the sacrifice, no matter what the cost, we've got to learn to cut it out. And if we don't cut it out and cut off the old leaven, it will contaminate everything that there is. We studied a little bit last week, and we talked about that we say to ourselves, well, you know, just a little. We looked at Joshua and Achan and Ai and how that they sent out the army, and the captain said, oh, don't send a bunch of us out to Ai. We conquered Jericho. We're mighty. God's with us. We can do this. And just send out a few. And they sent out just a few thousand men to go fight against Ai. And Ai rose up, a little small nation rose up against Israel and defeated them and push them back. And Joshua said to the Lord, you know, Lord, what's going on here? And in Joshua 7:11, Israel have sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them. For they have even taken of the accursed things, and have also stolen and disassembled also. And they have put it even amongst their own stuff. And this is one of the things that, for some reason, I think we feel we can get away with it. We like, well, it's just a little bit. It's not a lot. It's just a small thing. It's just one garment. And amongst all of the stuff that God's given me, and amongst all of this stuff called apostolicism and holiness and righteousness, surely this one little bitty Babylonian garment is not going to cause a problem. But Galatians says a little leaveneth the whole lump. And we think that we can take little things from our past, little things of unrighteousness, and mix them in with the righteousness of God. But that if we do enough good, it'll overcome the bad. But God said that's not the way it works. You got to cut it all off. Nothing from Babylon can come. Nothing from Babylon can stay. No matter how little it is, it will eventually leaven it the whole lot. No matter how small of a portion of the world that you try to mix in, if you let it stay long enough, it will eventually make you worldly. So we have to cut off the old lump so that, or the old leaven, purge out the old leaven so that we might become a new lump. Now tonight, for a few minutes, I want to shift gears, because we talked about things that we can control, things that are in our ability to cut off, things that we've maybe personally allowed to come into our life, things that we're seeing, watching, doing, hearing, going, and we know that there are weights in our life. They affect our walk with God. And so we said, we're going to cut those things off. We allowed them in, and now we're just going to take care of them. We're going to just, we're going to do away with them. We're going to live for God. We're going to work for God. But what about those things you don't have any control over? I mean, a lot of you like just cut your spouse off. You say, Lord, you know, you want me to cut off those things that are affecting my walk with God? Well, I'm just going to cut off Brother Kwashi, because he's just messing with my walk with God. Sister Kwashi says. And so, You know, there are things that follow us, things that affected us in 2010. And I'm just making a 2010-2011 reference just to give us kind of a focal point and so that we can get a little bit of practical thinking about it. But you understand what I'm just talking spirituality here in general. But there are things in 2010 that follow us into 2011 because there's nothing that we can do about it. We have no power over it. We have no control over it. If you may be married to a spouse that is lost, and you know the Bible talks about there are some men and women. When I say spouse, go either way, but there are some spouses that will allow you to live for him and not hinder you at all. And with however you want to live for God, they just say, that's perfectly fine with me. Go ahead and do it. But there are some spouses that are not that way, and they want their old dance partner back out on the thing. They want their old drinking partner back that you should go to the boardroom with them. They want the old woman. They want the old man back because you changed, but they have not changed. And God doesn't give you the right. I realize there are exceptions, but in the most part, God doesn't give you the right just to cut that off. That is forever attached to you. And you, when you said, I do, it's over. People say, well, I don't know if it's the will of God for them to get married. When they said, I do, it became the will of God. And now no matter how much you messed it up, it's your job to make it right and to do whatever you got to do to fix and walk in unity with the one that you have attached yourself to. Why do you think the Bible tells you from the beginning, do not be unequally yoked? I don't care how good looking he is. I don't care how many curves she's got. If she's not walking in your faith, honey, he or she is going to be nothing but trouble in your life. They're going to be a constant drag on you, constant pull. And so there are some things that follow us over that we really don't have any control. We don't have the ability to prevent or to cut off or to push away or whatever. And they affect what God is trying to do in us. They affect the new lump here that we are saying, purge out the old leaven, become that new lump in God. And you say, okay, God, I am. I'm going to cut that weight off. And I'm going to cut that weight off. And I'm going to cut that weight off. But there's some things that stepped over that I don't have the power to cut off. They have followed me in. Yet I want to be that vessel that God can use. I want to be that new lump, that new piece of clay that God can mold and shape into what it is and that he wants him to be, that he can put me up on a shelf. When everybody walk by, he can proudly say, that is my son. That is my daughter. I want to be that child of God. However, these things which have the potential, things of the old, which have the potential to pollute the things of the new. There are some of those things that carry over. And we started out talking about the spouse, unsaved. Maybe he or she is saved, but maybe they have certain problems or weaknesses that are in them that become a hazard and a difficulty in your life. Continue to walk with God. Maybe they're a selfish spouse, and the list can just go on. But not just spouse, but what about work? A lot of times our people work in areas that are very unholy, very ungodly, and you say, Well, just quit the job. When people were begging to hire, maybe that might be the case. But right now, you quit your job, you're crazy. There's 900 people waiting in line for you. They're praying you'll quit. They're more than happy to take your place. And I've just gone in and get my car fixed and walked back into the work area and go past that little sign that says employees only, you know, and you just go on past it anyway. And you get there in the back, and the next thing you know, up on the walls are pictures of all kinds of naked women back in the mechanic's office room. And then you maybe you go to work and there's just gossipers on the job and all they ever do is talk. Maybe there's dirty joke tellers or just, you know, immorality and filthiness and just ungodly spirits and all kinds of things. Maybe you clean a home or something, or you work for an individual, but this individual smokes and cuss and their spirit's not right. You try to be a witness. You want to be there for them, but still you can just feel the oppression of the spirit that comes against you. And so not only does your spouse follow you in 2011, but your job follows you in 2011. Not only that, but how about your family? Maybe you're the only one saved in your whole family, and you hate family reunions. And you would much rather come to the house of God with your new brothers and sisters any day of the week than go to an old family reunion. That's most of us, if your family's not all living for God. Maybe you have sisters and brothers that cuss and smoke, and they don't understand how or what you're doing or anything about you. And every time you get together, maybe the conversation is how stupid you are, that you give your money to the church, and how dumb you are, that you make your kids live this way, and you're part of an occult, and it just goes on, and the oppression. Yet you're in that family. There's nothing you can do about it. Their blood flows through your veins. You share that DNA, your mom and daddy. You all came out of the same womb, and you're just part of the family. And you're not going to cut yourself off, because your prayer and your hope is one day through you, they just might be saved. But it doesn't mean it doesn't make it difficult, and it's not hard. And you're trying to be that new thing in God that God can mold. But the old family just tags along. Not only family, but even friends. And you say, well, you can choose your friends. Well, most cases that's true. But sometimes friends are kind of pushed on you through other outside relationships. And out of respect and honor, you're being kind and entertain those that are about you. And maybe they become friends on some kind of a surface level because you don't want to hurt this one or hurt that one, or you're trying to save or reach or do. And so sometimes we even surround it with friends that are weights and people maybe that are always depressed and always talking down and always negative. And you get in their presence, and the last thing you want to do is be there. And you can feel that weight pulling you down, and you can feel how it feels like they're pulling you back from what God is trying to do in your life. Maybe it's not family. Maybe it's not spouse. Maybe it's not friends. Maybe it's not work. Maybe it's just your surroundings. It might be your neighborhood. You don't have any choice. You don't have the money to move. Nowheres to go. You're kind of locked in. Drug dealers on that side. A whore on that side. All kinds of mess over there. This one beats his wife. This one over here is a drunk. Who knows what your surroundings are? And you ask yourself the question, I wish I could leave all of this, but somehow you've been pushed and forced and anchored into that place. And you say, God, I'm wanting to be that new thing for you, but I feel all of these things on me, and I don't have the power to cut them off. I can't push them away. I have no power over it, God. And you feel those weight and you feel those pressures. And so what do we do about that? You can't cut everything off. So somehow, through all of this, you have got to be able to walk through and still be that new lump that God is shaping and molding and making and turning into something that's awesome and wonderful for his name's sake. And let me tell you something. Let me explain or show you something. God knows the difference. See, God knows the weights I put on myself. I wish I had something heavy here. I don't want it too heavy. I'm getting old. I felt a pain right there just going up them steps. It was a small pain, but it's a pain nonetheless. Okay. Some weights we put on ourselves. Oh, yeah. There's things we put on us, and we don't have to have them, but we like them. Our flesh likes them. They're entertaining. They feel good. They make us look good, we think. Huh? Yeah. Look good in front of everybody. So we'll walk around with weights in our life that slow us down in God because we're trying to appease the flesh or appease those around us or make ourselves look good in front of other people. So we're willing to wear certain things in the spiritual world to be able to accomplish that. God knows the difference between things that you put on yourself and things that were just things that are just simply there because of the circumstances of life. Now, I don't want to hurt you. I just want to tell you, there's no grace in this. Don't look for it. Don't look for it. You're praying a vain prayer if you get on your knees and say, God, give me grace to carry this weight. No, no, no. Not when you can do that. No grace in that, honey. You can pray all you want to pray. You can beg all you want to beg. You are not going to feel the hand of grace of God come into your life and help you carry weights that you put on yourself that are hindering you from going close to the Almighty God and Him molding you into what He wants you to be. However, when there are weights in your life, maybe your spouse backslid, or maybe both of you are in the world and you got in, but he didn't follow or she didn't follow. That's not a weight that you choose. You were ignorant when you were in the world. You didn't know, but now you're in the church. That's a weight that's attached to you. And so I say to you, yes, that weight, you can get on your knees and say, God, I need you to help me bear this weight that is on me. I don't want to leave him. I don't want to leave her because through me, they might be saved. I'm willing to fight it. I'm willing to walk with it. I'm willing to go through it. 47 years Elizabeth's mother prayed for her husband. 47 years she bore the weight. 47 years she got up every Sunday and went to the house of God and served God. Wednesday night, choir night, prayer night, when he let her go, she carried that weight. 47 years later, finally, filled with the Holy Ghost in the presence of God. Some weights God will give you grace. Second Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 7. Paul the apostle shows us something here that we need to get a glimpse into it. And he said, unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the measure of Satan to buffer me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. I'm here to tell you right now, Paul the apostle felt in his heart, God, if you'll take this from me, I can live for you better. I can do more for you. I can go further places. I'll accomplish more things if you'll get this out of my life. Three times Paul said, I sought the face of God, and God came to me, and he said, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, Paul said, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ might rest upon me.
You see, God, my desire is to be molded into something that's better and looks more like you. And I think in my flesh, if you'll take this off, get me out of this neighborhood, get me away from this spouse, deliver me from my family, give me another job, I can be better at it. But God says, no, those weights, those burdens I put on you, my grace is sufficient. And when Paul the Apostle realized that God were using these things to make him a better man, make him stronger in Christ, he said, I began to rejoice. I said, happy am I to bear these infirmities. Okay. Just a little longer. Therefore, verse 10, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distress for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Here's something, Paul, that's going to follow you the rest of your life. I will not remove this from you. My grace will uphold you. Here's something, Paul the Apostle, that no matter how you try, you will never fix this. Since it's not going to change, Paul, guess who needs to? Since it's going to be around and it's not ever going to leave and it's always going to be there, then Paul the Apostle, you need to find a way not to let this old leaven that followed you from 2010 to affect the new thing that I'm doing in your life. Lord, I wish y'all would get this. Because I feel revelation in the house, but I feel it bouncing off some thick skulls. Let's lift our hands and love the Lord together here tonight. Would you do that? Just give him some praise. Just got a little gas in my tank. I got in my car today. And excuse me while I get 2010 out of the way. And my car said 18 miles to empty. I said, whew. So I get on the road. You know, that fluctuates how you pump the old gas accelerator. So I said, well, that's plenty to make it to that gas station over there by the office. So I'm cruising on. I kind of didn't look at it. And I got up to the turn there on 441. It said 3 miles to empty. I went, oh, Lord. So I touched the gas real easy. And I made that curve under the bridge and came back around, got over in the parking lot and went over by Home Depot when I was coming through. And it said 2 miles to empty. I thought, dude, you don't know measurements very well. Because I ain't gone but about a quarter of a mile here. Something wrong with this thing. And I pulled up into the gas station. And when I pulled next to the pump, it said 0 miles to empty. Whew. I ain't never been that close to empty. I wonder if that's what my spiritual
Gage says sometimes when I finally found myself falling before God, and he just starts going, fill me back up. I wonder why it takes so long to pray through. I was so close to empty. 0 miles. So Paul the Apostle, this isn't going to leave you. It's going to stay with you. My grace is sufficient for you. Now, I won't help you. I won't give you grace for this. This is something you put in your own life. What I tell you, I tell you to cut this off. I tell you to cast this off. I tell you to make yourself righteous. Separate yourself from the unrighteous thing. Come out from among them. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you unto myself. That's what I tell you to do with those old weights. Get that Babylonian garment out from amongst your stuff. You can't mix it in with the holy things of God. You've got to cut that off. But this leaven, this thing that has come over, this thing that has followed you, I understand that you can't cut it off. You can't cut the spouse off. You can't cut family off. You can't cut circumstances off sometimes. You can't cut work off sometimes. God understands those things. He said, so Paul, get up. My grace is sufficient for you. I'm going to help you in these things. I'm going to carry you through. And so we follow through in the life of Paul, the apostle. Something's got to change. If that's not going to change, then I got to change. And I like 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10. Paul says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. God, take it out of my life. God, get it out of my life. God, take it away. No, Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. When Paul got a revelation by the grace. You're not hearing. You're not hearing, Pastor. By the grace of God, I am what I am. By the things that God left in my life, they made me strong. They built me up. They made me who I am. And God taught me how not to let that unsaved spouse contaminate my soul. How not to let that job work contaminate my soul. How not to let the neighborhood contaminate my soul. For the souls of my children, God's grace protected me. His grace helped me. When I realized these things were better for me than against me, then I said, by the grace of God, I am what I am. His grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. Did not let the weights of these things stop me from becoming what God has called me to be. I did not use my lost spouse as an excuse to miss out on church when I knew he had let me go if I just simply really wanted to. I didn't use my lost spouse to cause me not to pay my tithe or offering when I knew he would if I just wanted to. I didn't use my spouse as an excuse. What do you say? I didn't let that old leaven that followed me when God was trying to do something new in my life, I didn't let it contaminate me. I let God work in my life, the new work that he wanted to do. I didn't let that job environment contaminate my mind and my spirit. I didn't throw in the towel and say, what's the use? Why should I even try? I just give up and stand in the circle and tell the dirty jokes with them or mock and gossip with them. No, I refuse. I let God work in my life. I didn't let my brothers and my sisters, my family, get a hold of my heart and intimidate me and make me yield to sin and drink only when I'm around them and cuss only when I'm around them and dress ungodly only when I'm around them. No, I can't cut them off, but they're not going to curse me. They're not going to contaminate me. I'm going to be that pure lump. I'm going to be that piece of clay that God can mold, that God can use. His grace was not bestowed upon me in vain. I will labor more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which is in me. Paul the apostle understood that it wasn't him. He couldn't do it. He couldn't overcome these things. He couldn't conquer these things within himself, within his own strength, his own ability. He would indeed become contaminated. He would indeed yield to the things of his family. He would indeed yield to the sins of his spouse. He would indeed yield to the temptations of his work area. He would indeed yield to the violence and the immorality of his neighborhood if it was just up to him. But the grace of God stepped into his life and gave him strength. And in the midst of everything going on in his life, he remained that pure, unleavened, pure piece of bread, that pure clay that had no contamination in it, that God could mold and shape. Looked into the word of the Lord. Peter questioning the will of God. And this was at a really powerful point when God's asking Peter. He's saying, lovest thou me? Yeah, yeah. Feed my sheep. Lovest thou me? Yeah. Feed my lambs. Lead my lambs. Lord, you know I love you. Verse 17, he saith unto him the third time, Simon or Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest the things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. Verily I say unto thee, and look what Jesus says. He says, I say unto you that when you're young, you're going to gird yourself up. You're strong. You're bold. You're a lion. You'll come up against anything. He said, you'll gird thyself and walk as wherever you want to go. That's where you'll go, Peter. He said, but when you get old, he said, you're going to stretch forth your hand and another will gird thee. And they will carry you where you would not go. And this spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken thus, he saith unto him, follow me. So Jesus looks at Peter, and history tells us Peter was crucified upside down. He did not want to be crucified as his Christ. He didn't feel worthy. And they said, okay, fine. So they just turned the cross upside down, hung him upside down. And there he suffered till he died. And Jesus was prophesying to Peter the kind of death that he was going to have to bring glory to the name of Jesus Christ. And then he looked at him and he said, now, follow me. You could kind of stop right there, because some of us would go, whoa. Amen. See, you already told me where this path's going. I mean, you gave me the very end. You said, when all this is done and said, in the end, they're going to do some really bad things to me. And then you turn around and say, now follow me. Let's start this journey down that path, Peter, that I just told you about. So then Peter turns about and he sees the disciple whom Jesus loved, speaking of John, and following. And, you know, the one that leaned his head upon the breast of Jesus at supper and said, tell us who it is that is going to betray you. And the one that everybody knew, for whatever reason, that Jesus seemed to have this special little touch with old John. Peter turned and he said, looks at Jesus. And let me read here, verse 20. And Peter turned about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following. So here comes John behind them, which also leaned on his breast at supper and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? And then verse number 21, Peter, seeing him, he said to Jesus, and what shall this man do? Now watch Peter. He said, now Lord, you just told me that after I do everything I'm going to do for you, all this work I'm going to do for you, they're going to hang me upside down and blood going to run out my nose and my ears until I die. And I'm going to suffer and be crucified upside down to bring glory to you. Now here comes this little fella back here, old Primpy John. You know, he's just so soft and sweet and everything going his little way. And he's following those disciples. And Peter said, what about him? How's he going to die? What kind of suffering is he going to go through? And Jesus, and so Peter said, seeing him, said to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? And Jesus answered him, said unto him, verse 22, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. He said, Peter, if I will that he never dies, if I tarry 2,000 years and don't come back, and he is still alive and never suffers anything and never has a disease and never feels a pain in his body, lives in a mansion and everything going his way and servants taking care of his toes and his fingernails and pramping him and dropping grapes in his mouth, and he lives a life of luxury. He said, Peter, if I want to do all of that with him, what does that have to do with you? Follow thou me. Now here's the beautiful part about it. First of all, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. We're going to close in a minute here. For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are unwise. So it's unwise for you to look at your brother and sister and say, Lord, they're not having to go through what I'm going through. Why are all these blessings in their life? And the Lord looked at Peter and he said, don't bother yourself with those things. You just follow me, because I've got your life all planned out. And I'm going to take care of you, Peter. And you're going to receive glory. And this is the beautiful part about it. Acts chapter 3 and verse 1. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. Somewhere in the middle of all of that, Peter readjusted his attitude. And he said, Lord, no matter what I have to suffer, no matter what my job brings, my spouse brings, my neighborhood brings, my family brings my way, no, all these things, Lord, no matter what my path is, no matter the persecution, the suffering, the injustice that's going to come my way, the pain I'm going to have to suffer, the shame I'm going to have to suffer, no matter what I have to face, no matter what I have to go through, Lord, I am going to follow you. And somewhere in the middle of all of that, Peter adjusted his attitude, because the Bible says Peter and John together, the one that he was worried about, the one that he said, well, what about that one? If I've got to suffer all this, what's he going to suffer? You know, me and the other disciples, Jesus, we haven't been appreciating the way you've been favoring him. Him putting his head all up in your chest and loving all up on you. And we've been watching all that stuff. What about him? What's he going to go through? Somewheres in Peter's walk, he adjusted that attitude. And now Peter and John have become prayer partners. Amen. Because Peter said, I don't know what your path is going to bring. And I don't know. Huh. Well, Peter, if you could have followed John all the way, you might not have liked what it all ended up being, because not long after that, he found himself, after being boiled in a pot of oil, but he couldn't boil. They put him on the Isle of Patmos. But I like old John. John fixed his attitude as well, because the Bible says that he said, on the Lord, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I was lifted up in the Spirit into the heavens, and a window was open, and I saw a throne, and there was only one on that throne. Somewheres in the middle of all of this, these disciples had adjusted their attitude, and they did not let the circumstances of life contaminate their vessel. They said, I'm not going to let the leaven of the old, the things that
that follow me that I cannot control. The things that come against me that I cannot control. I am not going to let them contaminate my spirit, my mind, my walk with God. I'm going to let God do in me everything he's called to do in me. Whew. Let's stand. Lord, I wish I could feel this was received better than it's been received. But I can tell when things are bouncing back. So maybe 10 years from now, he'll bring it back to your memory when you need it. Genesis chapter 50. You want to talk about attitude adjustment? You want to talk about not allowing the leaven of the things you cannot control. The things of old. Now the weights, the old leaven that you put on yourself, God says you got to cut that off or it's going to contaminate you. He said, but the leaven that comes your way that you didn't put on yourself, if you'll keep your attitude right, and if you'll follow me and submit yourself to me, he said, I'll make sure it don't contaminate you. And in the midst of your babbling, and in the midst of your hard marriage, and in the midst of your ungodly neighborhood, and the midst of your horrible and unholy workplace, God said, these things that you cannot control, that leaven that tries to get in there and mix itself with you, he said, those things, if you'll keep your attitude right, your spirit right, and if you'll love me the way you're supposed to love me and walk with me, he said, I'll make sure those things never contaminate you. And they will bring glory to my name. Joseph said, in Genesis 50 and 20. But as for you, you thought evil against me. To bring to pass as it is this day. I'm sorry. But as for you, you thought evil against me. But God meant it for good. To bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive. Joseph, beat by his brothers, ripped, thrown into a pit, pulled out, sold to a caravan, then traded into an Egyptian's home, lied and cheated on, cast into a prison, forgotten about, left in prison to rot, and finally when the time was right, God brought him up. He was in the midst of the biggest hell anybody could be in. He wasn't only being mistreated, lied on, cheated, forgotten about, hated, all of these things, but at the same time, he was in the midst of Egypt. Ungodliness, worldliness, filthiness, everything that surrounded him. But all through the path, all these things that were thrown on him, they could have contaminated him. Don't you tell me for a minute, Potiphar's wife. Do you think Potiphar was married to some fat, ugly hag? Some old woman with bags hanging down her face? And I don't mean to be ugly. We all gonna look like that one day. However, that was Potiphar. He was married to the most beautiful woman in Egypt, next to Pharaoh's wife herself. He had his choice. Wealthy man in Egypt. You don't think that Joseph was tempted? The most powerful woman in Egypt could have hid things and her husband would have never found out. And if one of them slaves would have said something, she'd have said, he's a liar, and cut his head off. Dude, he had it made. He could have laid with the woman, enjoyed the luxuries of life while the man was gone, and lived like a king. But Joseph said, I'm not letting those things contaminate me. Just because I live here don't mean it has to become a part of me.
Just because I work here don't mean I have to look at the pictures and lust over them. Just because I work here don't mean I have to listen to the gospel and become a part of it. Just because I live in this family don't mean I have to drink and smoke and cuss when I'm at the family reunion. No, sir. These things don't have to contaminate me. I don't have to become a part of them. And if you'll get the attitude of Joseph and the attitude of Paul and the attitude of Peter and let those things get a hold of you and walk with God, God said, I know those things are heavy. He said, but I'll step into your life and I'll wrap myself around you, and my grace will be sufficient for you, and I will uphold you, and I'll turn you. I'll be able to mold you. You will not be contaminated. It doesn't matter if you live with a lost spouse, if you live in an unsafe family, if you work in an unholy place, if you live in an ungodly neighborhood. God said, I will not let these things contaminate you. The leaven will not get in you. I will keep you pure. I will keep you clean. And I will mold you to be what it is I've chosen you to be. Let's clap our hands to the Lord. Don't let that devil lie to you. Don't let that devil tell you you must yield. You got to give in. You don't have any choice. This is the way it is. You're surrounded by it. You can shine brighter in that area than anything else. And when it was all said and done, he rode right behind Pharaoh's chariot. And everybody bowed down to Joseph, Lord of Egypt, second only to Pharaoh himself. He had the keys to the kingdom of the world, because he didn't let the leaven of the world contaminate who he was called to be from the womb of his mother. And God called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. He separated us from this world. And I know that many of us find ourselves in very difficult situations, but I've come to tell you, you can shine in your family. You can shine at your workplace. You can shine wherever you might find yourself under whatever circumstance. It doesn't matter. You can shine, and God can use you, and God will protect you, and he'll make sure that these things don't contaminate you. So how do we get rid of the old leaven? Well, the old leaven that we put on ourselves, we have to cut it off. Because if you don't, it'll contaminate you. It'll fill every part of you. And you'll be vile and ungodly. You got to cut it off. You got to push it out. You can't let it follow you over. But the things that are attached to you that cannot be cut off, God said, if you'll just get your attitude right, if you'll follow me, if you'll fix your eyes on the mark and put your hands to the plow and don't look back, but just follow after me. He said, I won't let any of these things touch you. I won't let any of these things contaminate you. And when all is said and done, your family will know, your coworkers will know, everybody, your neighborhood will know, everybody around you will know. Surely, the Spirit of God rests upon him. And God will complete his work in your life. And you will be that new lump. And God will mold you into what he wants you to be. And souls will be saved. Let's stand. Those of us that can, let's stand. Thank you, Jesus. Reach over, get your neighbor's hand. Father, in the precious name of the Lord, I thank you for your word tonight. I thank you for your word. Your word is true. It's rich. It's righteous. Lord, I pray that it gets deep into our hearts and deep into our spirits. And God, that we walk with it and it becomes a part of us. And Lord, the things that we've brought upon ourselves, that we would cut them off. And the leaven, God, the unrighteousness that we brought into our life, ourselves, God, that we will cut that off and not let it contaminate us. And Lord, not let the old leaven contaminate the new. And God, that we'll stay pure and righteous. And Father, then those things which are attached to us, Lord, that we have no power over. It might be our spouse, our workplace, our neighborhood, our family. Lord, it could be a lot of things. And God, things we have no power, Lord, that we would seek, Lord, to be free from, that we would seek to be cut off from. But Lord, you have come to us and said your grace is sufficient. God, if we'll live for you and walk with you, and if we'll keep our heart right and our attitude right, Lord, you'll make sure that these things do not contaminate us. You'll make sure that they do not defile us. And God, we'll be able to walk right through the middle of Egypt and keep our robes of righteousness unspotted and unwrinkled from the world. We'll be able to walk right amongst the heathen, oh God, and be unspotted, untouched, unwrinkled. We'll be able to keep the Babylonian garment out of our life. Oh yes, in the name of Jesus, we'll be exalted amongst us. Your grace is sufficient. Your grace is sufficient. You will carry us through. You will help us, and by your grace we will become what it is that you desire for us to be. Oh God, it will happen. And people around us will be saved, and they will be blessed. Our family members will be saved. Our spouse will be saved. Our co-workers will be saved. Our neighborhood.